Some of you could talk about that for an hour, and some of you never even started, and I respect both of you. So let's go ahead and grab a seat and get going here. It wasn't a movie, but it was one of the scariest things that I've ever been through. The house we first lived in when we moved to Oswego is where we experienced it. And maybe because of what we experienced, that house does not stand anymore. Y'all know where Ace Hardware is in Oswego, where they've ripped up everything at 71 in Plainfield Road? The house across the street at the southeast corner of 71 in Plainfield Road, there was a house with a huge five-car garage that the state of Illinois bought and knocked down. And we lived there for about a year and a half when we first moved here, even before we started the church. On the back of this house was a huge Three Seasons room. And you could see driving by that it looked like this Three Seasons room walked you straight into our living room, but it didn't. You had to get through two deadbolts to get through that Three Seasons room into our house. But anybody could walk into it. And so one morning when Marissa took the dog out, she went through both of the deadbolts into the Three Seasons room, and there sat two size 15 sandals. I wear size 9.5. Two size 15 sandals, and I kid you not, covered. Covered in hair. And I don't know anything about dogs, but the hair was this long all over these ugly, smelly, big foot sandals. The motivation and inspiration for this series of sermons has been awkward things that happen to you. And Sasquatch happened in our backyard. I believed it. I believed that right there on our back porch in that Three Seasons room, we had an uninvited intruder that would end you up on the Discovery Channel. Either that, or you'd be the same person that goes on CNN describing what the tornado sounded like. Somewhere along those lines. Have you ever watched the show Bigfoot Hunter? They interview people that literally claim to have seen Bigfoot. And the intensity and the passion with which they communicate this is unreal. The authenticity. You listen to them describe that this is what they saw, and this is who they saw, and that this was real, and there is no negotiating with them about how real this is. Same is true for UFOs. Anybody got a cousin that likes to drink Natty Light and drive in the country at the middle of the night and has seen a UFO? Anybody got a cousin like that? Anybody married to somebody like that? I have met people for whom they have met UFOs, or they have seen UFOs, and there is no negotiating with them about how real and about how true their experience is. If I ever win the lottery, there's one thing that I want to go experience that I will become an advocate and an evangelist for. Loch Ness. Anybody remember Unsolved Mysteries? Robert Stack? I loved Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack because they would always, every season, do an episode about the Loch Ness Monster. And they would always have some random Scottish version of a hillbilly on there describing this animal that he saw and what he experienced, and there was no convincing him that this was not true. I posted on Facebook several months ago a trend that I noticed regarding Bigfoot, UFOs, Loch Ness Monster, anything else you can think of. If you notice that in your pocket is a camcorder, raise your hand if you got a camera on your phone. If you notice now that everybody has a camera on their phone, nobody has video of Bigfoot. Have you noticed that? Well, the fact of the matter is, I don't have video, but I have something that I just thought I'd bring out here this morning. How you doing, my friend? Is this real?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to have one of these right now. What's it called? Sasquatch. So do you want to do an interview? No? Do you want to get your camera out and record this? No. Anything you want to share with us today? Trust God? Fair enough. Thank you. Would you guys go ahead and please thank our Bigfoot hunter here? I guarantee you've never had that happen at church, have you? It's interesting. Once you see something and you become convinced of it, it doesn't matter what anybody else has said. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks they can prove. It doesn't matter the intensity with which someone will debate with you. Once you believe that you have seen or experienced something, there is a reality to it that you can't negotiate. All of these random, seemingly hilarious things are merely an example of what life with God is like. You see, sometimes in faith, we can see things that nobody else can see, and we have to trust what it is we have seen. When it comes to faith, we have to believe something that we have seen, even if nobody else sees it or believes it. I preached this text last week from the 10th chapter of Mark. And I ended up using this text as the Bible study that I led at the gym that we have a Bible study at every other Sunday night. And as we were reading through this, some guy just randomly reading through this text made this observation. All right, you got the story of Jesus and the crowds moving through the city on their way into what we call Holy Week. Jesus is about to begin Palm Sunday. He is on the cusp, on the threshold of what will begin the beginning of the end of his life. But on his way out of town, a blind man begs for Jesus to heal him. And if you were here last week, what do the disciples and the crowds tell to the blind man as he cries out to Jesus? What do they tell him to do? Be quiet. Be hush. Look what it says. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet in verse 48. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And as we were reading this text, this fellow by the name of Joe said, "Isn't it ironic that the only person that could see what Jesus was doing was blind? The only person who had the vision to see what Jesus was putting in front of him was blind." Sometimes God will show his power and his strength by even giving vision to the blind, when everybody else that's walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and sees Jesus is blind to what God is trying to do. Blind Bartimaeus saw something that no one else could see. Sometimes faith is like that, isn't it? God, I have found, is in the habit of reaching down into our own lives personally and showing us a future or a vision or a snapshot of what is next for our life, and we might be the only ones that see it. But God shows it and trusts that we will have the courage to do something with it. Anybody remember Spencer Gifts? We had a mall when I was a kid, and they had posters in the back of Spencer Gifts. If you stare at this poster long enough in Spencer Gifts, it is one of those old pictures that where if you stare long enough, there is another picture that will come out of it. Does anybody remember these? If you're a child of the 80s, you remember these. You had to stare. My grandma had one and she told me, squint. If you squint long enough, there's like a boat that comes out of this picture. Other ones had like sailors that were all symmetrically placed that you had to stare at it long enough to see it. And for years, we would go to my grandmother's house and look at a picture almost exactly like this. And I would stare and I would stare, and I couldn't see anything. I remember asking Dad, "Can I get glasses? Because I can't see the picture in picture at Grandma's house." Well, then finally, one random Thanksgiving, we were at Grandma Mitchell's, and I'm looking at this picture, and then bam, there it is. It was so long ago, I can't say, whoop, there it is. But it was just like that. That picture reached out. You could see it, even if nobody else could see it. And once you saw it, I know this is terrible English, I'm sorry. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once it's there, you can't take that picture away. Once that vision is put in front of you, you can't unsee it. I believe that God has a habit of reaching into our lives and showing us small or large steps into the future that we couldn't see apart from Him. And I also believe that when God grabs a hold of us and begins to show us what it is He wants us to do next, what it is that He wants us to see next, what it is He wants us to follow through on next, once we do that and once we see that, we can't step away from it. How do I know this? Have you ever felt guilty about not doing something you were supposed to do or the vice versa of? That's a relationship with God at the core. That He lays out for us, maybe to us only personally, to see something unique. And then when we see that and don't follow through on it, that is our conscience. That is sin. But my hope for you is that you and God will develop a relationship to where He begins to make clear to you small or large steps to take that maybe only you alone can see, that will nudge and move and sometimes leap you into the future. Faith gets talked about a lot of ways. For many of us, faith is sorting out the past. Anybody got a whole lot of garbage that regret or mistakes they made that they'd rather not bring up in church? Kind of give a very gentle nod if that's your case. Anybody going through something right now that you're like, I have no clue how I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I have no clue how I'm going to deal with everything at home when I get back. And all I'm praying for is just enough courage to face the day. Anybody there right now? Faith has a way of reaching into both those things. Faith is applicable to all of that. Faith helps us deal with the past. Faith gives us courage to deal with the present. But I believe that one of the limiting factors of Christian maturity is that we either only let God do something in our past, or we only pray, God, let me get through today because it's no fun, and we neglect asking God to show us what it is He wants us to do next. We miss the mark when we lack the prayer that says, God, make clear to me what it is I'm supposed to do. Show me what it is You only want me to see, because I want to get a picture of what my future could be like with You. And if I see that, I will not unsee it. I was 23 years old driving north of Kansas City. I had the hand-me-down car that I had gotten in college from my family that had the same tires on it that it had for about 90,000 miles. Thanks a lot, Dad. And as I'm driving in the dead of winter on the north suburbs of Kansas City, I hit an ice patch. And I hit an ice patch on one of those roads that where you're doing 45, but everybody does 75, and it's got the big curb there on the right. Well, I hit that ice patch, and I not only hit the curb, and I not only shattered the tire, I broke the rim. You know how hard you have to hit a curb to break the rim? Well, being someone that has net zero automotive skills, I drove on a broken rim a mile to the closest place I could find that would fix a tire. For those of you that don't know the Midwest in terms of getting west of here, the mafia capital of the world is not New York, and it is not Chicago. It is Kansas City. And so when I pull in to this offbeat car dealership, and I kid you not, they still had a poster of Jimmy Hoffa behind the desk. You know, it's like, you know, you got your picture of Jesus, you got your picture of Jimmy Hoffa, and for old Guido there, it's just kind of all the same behind the counter. I walk in and I ask for a rim to help me get home, because I'm trying to get home for the holidays. And he says, how much time you got? How much money you got? And so there over the counter, I negotiate the non-mafia price for my rim. And he fixes it, and he puts a garbage tire on there, and I can still only do about 40 miles an hour. So as I pick back up on I-35 and turn off to the country road into Amish country in southern Iowa, the snowstorm begins to drop hard. And so I'm driving over these hills, afraid I'm going to rear in the Amish at about 25 miles an hour. And after about 15 minutes on that country road, it was almost a whiteout. Have you ever driven in those where the snow is falling so hard and the wind is blowing so hard that they tell you to focus on the white line and everything looks like the white line? When I turned on my lights and turned on the brights and slowed down to about 15 miles an hour, I could see just enough to keep going to where I knew that if I needed to get a mile in a minute, I couldn't do it. But if I needed to accomplish the next 50 feet, I barely had enough vision to see what was next. But you know what? That was enough to get me home. Many of us say, I wish I knew how everything would work out in life. I wish God would just show me what things are going to be like in a year or 5 years or 10 years from now. And once I knew all that, I could just sit back and relax and trust God and not have to deal with all this stuff. Anybody felt that way before? God gives us just enough vision for the future to keep going. And faith has a way of clearing the fog, not so that we can speed into the future a year from now, but so that we can have the ability to just put one foot in front of the other and keep going and knowing that just beyond the ridge, God is going to take us where we need to be, not on our timeline, but on His. And if we would but have the eyes of faith to see and to trust God, we would keep moving as I did through that nasty storm and moving in a way that will eventually lead us home. I have a Bible verse I want to show you this morning. And if you find any time to spend with the Scriptures this week, this is the text I would love for you to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Paul writes these words. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. And the Spirit searches all these things, even the deep things of God. If it was left up to what I could see, what I could hear, what I could come up with, my life would not be a whole lot. If my faith was reduced to what I could observe, to what I could think of, to what I had the ability to believe, I would not be where I am, and I am nowhere to be proud of. But if we would look and trust and gaze on Jesus, if we would be like blind Bartimaeus, and even with our sin, and even with our inability, look and see what Jesus has to offer, we would see what He wants us to see. We would hear what He wants us to hear. And we would find the life that He has conceived for us that is grander than we could imagine, that He will show to us incremental steps at a time. You see, this is why we do this whole thing. This is why we get up at 8, get here at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning and lay wires and make coffee and set out cards. This is why we sing and worship. This is why we pray and why we learn the Scriptures. This is why we beg you to invite people to come to worship so that we can live a life that wasn't our own creation, but that we could connect people to God, a God who has something bigger than we could think of, a God who shows us something that we could not dream of. And that once you see that life, you could not walk away from it. Because the life and love of Jesus is irresistible. And it is so much greater and grander than the soft garbage that the world peddles and that we give our lives to far too often. What I want and hope you to lose sleep over this week is that we have tens of thousands of people who are only seeing what they see, who are only hearing what news tells them, and are only thinking up things from their limited imagination. And that we can create an environment where folks can come and be exposed to what God can show them, the truth of the Scriptures to change their life, and people that will show them how to make that happen. Don't you want that? I want that. I want that for my frail and failing life. I want that for my non-frail and non-failing church. And I want this for this community that God has sent us to. We planted a church here to share Jesus with. I'll warn you, though, and get a little scared. When you see what God has for you next, these are the things that make you change jobs. These are the things that make you tough out the rough patches of a relationship. These are the things that teach you to love somebody that you'd rather not spend time with. These are the things that make you open your door to folks that you'd just as well keep on the porch. This will expose you to folks that you would never voluntarily spend time with. But God says, go and be my kingdom. And what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived are the things that God has in store for us. And if we love Him, we will look at Him. And when we look at Him, we will see what we could not see on our own. And we would dare not look away or walk away from Him. Following World War II, troops all across Europe and the United States began to make their way home. And there were soldiers that had fought the resistance against Hitler in France that had been caught in one of the worst concentration camps where they did not kill, but they tortured and created psychological delusion in a way that you and I don't even want to think about. And so essentially when that camp was liberated, they all began to make their way back to Paris, impaired by serious memory loss. There was a unit of about 100 French soldiers who had been tormented and tortured so bad that they had no memory of who they were. They had no recognition of their name, and showing them basic pictures of what could potentially be their family triggered nothing. And so the largest newspaper in France took pictures of every one of these soldiers and said, on stated day at 10 a.m., in the theater in downtown Paris, if you have lost loved ones that you have not heard from in the war, and if they match these pictures, will you please come and sit in the theater as we try to reunite them with their families? So there in that theater, it was packed. The crowd was dark. The stage was empty. And finally, one lone light shone down at the center of the stage. And one young soldier walked right out to the microphone and cleared his voice and said, can anyone tell me who I am? Then over the noise in the room, a voice screamed out, yes! Yes! And someone came down the steps of the balcony and raced to the front of the stage. And it was the mother of this young boy that threw her arms around this young man and walked him off the stage home. I can't help but feel that many, many days in my life, and maybe it's this way in your life, you are so confused about who you are. You are so confused about what to do next. You have no vision of what it is that you are supposed to do in terms of moving forward in the difficult situations that you find yourself in. And there you step into the dark stage of light, into the spotlight, and you find the courage to ask the question that every one of us asks, and you say, can anyone tell me who I am? And in the middle of that crowd, a lone voice cries out from God that says, yes, I know who you are. You are my child. You are one I love. You are one I will never let go of. And I have not only redeemed your past, I have not only sustained you in this moment, I want to give you a picture of the future that you could not find on your own. And even if you've been through the torture of war or just the difficulty of debt or anywhere else in between, God is desperate for a relationship with you so that He can give you a snapshot not only of what is, but what can be. So for all of us who lay our head down at night, wondering what the next week or the next year would look like. I don't want to give you an action plan. I don't want to tell you how to worry and not worry. I just want to do what blind Bartimaeus did. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. We sang a hymn in my church when I was a little kid called "Fix Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Stare at His Glorious Grace." I don't remember the rest of it because I usually slept through church. But that's my invitation to you today. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And what you see from Him, you can't unsee it. And that is enough to keep you going. Let's pray together. We thank You, Lord, that You are in the business of showing us things that we could not see on our own. Lord, give us the conviction and the assurance that what we have seen from You is no myth or unsolved mystery. It is the truth on which all of human history hinges, that in Jesus Christ there is life that never ends. Oh Lord, I pray for so many people today that are struggling to put one foot in front of the other. May they not only find courage, and may they not only find support, may they fix their eyes upon Jesus. And in that, they will see what maybe no one else around them could see. Amen. We want to invite those that are serving.